It will come to pass in the last days that I will pour out a portion of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams.
Well, this is the third week of our series about dreams and visions sent by God. The Bible is full of stories about dreams and visions. But many saints and common, ordinary, everyday people since then have also experienced dreams and visions. In fact, you may experience them. God may want to communicate something important to you in this way. I've been actually quite surprised since we started this series talking about dreams and visions from God, how many people have told me that they have experienced a dream or a vision that they believe was of divine origin. It's a lot of people. It happened to them. It could happen to you. And so in this series, we're learning how to receive these divine messages and open ourselves, our hearts, and our minds to the possibility that we also might experience this kind of supernatural phenomenon. Now, as we've been saying, God speaks most reliably and most clearly through the Bible and through church teaching. But it's also possible for any of us who are open to it to experience mystical wonders like dreams and visions. Now, as we learned a few weeks ago, dreams are what happen, they typically happen at night while we're asleep, whereas visions occur during the day when we're wide awake. And there are different kinds of visions that we talked about. Some people have visions that involve the physical senses. They actually see with their own eyes an apparition or hear something with their own ears. These are rare, but they do happen. Other people experience imaginative visions. These are visions that involve the imagination, but they're not imagined like we might use that word today. They're actually images that are placed in the mind's eye by God of people in their placed by God in the mind's eye of people who really need to receive a message from God. And then the third type of vision is called intellectual vision. This involves it's a highly intuitive experience where people just sort of all of a sudden, out of the blue, for no particular reason at all, experience these profound feelings of love or peace or joy or a kind of a sense of light. These are visions as well. As we've also been talking about, there are many different reasons why God sends dreams and visions to us. One purpose is to impart knowledge and wisdom. We talked about that 2 weeks ago in connection with the dream that was given to King Solomon in the Old Testament. Other reasons that dreams and visions may be sent to us include the desire to help someone overcome their fear or their worry or their lack of doubt. These kind of visions or dreams actually strengthen the faith of the person who is in a kind of a state of distress. We heard about that in connection with the story of Gideon in the Old Testament. And then also last week, we talked about another reason that dreams and visions are sent to us, and that is to reveal the future. Maybe to prepare us for blessings to come, or maybe even warn us about dangers that are up ahead. Well, today I want to talk about a very different kind of vision. It's called a theophany. A theophany is a visible manifestation of God. In other types of dreams and visions, there is an indirect presence and involvement of God. Like in some of the visions I shared with you in the last 2 weeks that happened to me. I'm not seeing God directly, but I believe that they're sent by God and God is present through those visions and dreams. Theophanies are different. Theophanies are the direct visual display of God in some tangible form. For example, in the Old Testament, one of the earliest theophanies happened to Moses when he came across the burning bush, as you see here in this picture. Other forms of theophany in the Old Testament were peals of thunder, flashes of lightning, fires, clouds, pillars of clouds, things like that. Now, obviously, we can't see God face to face, even with a theophany. Without these created forms of media, we could never see God face to face, but it is still a direct manifestation of God to us. Now, theophanies occur throughout the Bible, and they always happen for a specific reason. For example, in Exodus chapter 19, in the Old Testament of the Bible, Moses and the Israelites were trekking across the desert floor. They're making their way to the Promised Land. You probably know this story. And they come to a place called Mount Horeb, otherwise known as Mount Sinai. And they pitch camp there. And then God tells Moses to get the people ready, that because on the third day he is going to appear to them. This is what he says specifically. He says, on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai before the eyes of all the people. And that's what happened. Everybody got ready, they prepared, they gathered, and then all of a sudden there were peals of thunder and flashes of lightning and trumpet blasts and a thick cloud that surrounded the mountain like smoke. And that was God's presence right before them. It was a theophany, and the purpose of that theophany was to establish a covenant with the people, to establish a lasting relationship with the people that would serve and love him, a relationship that would last forever. Other theophanies occur to call people into a specific mission or a purpose in life, you know, to serve God in a particular way. The prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament experienced this kind of theophany. He had a vision of God on a high and lofty throne. And there were angels all around him, and they had six wings, each of the angels. I think it would be very frightening. And then he heard the voice of God booming and said, "Who will go for us? Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah, very smartly in that moment, said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And that's what drove him to become a prophet. That's what made him become a prophet. He had this theophany that called him into mission. Well, theophanies can also announce the future to us, just like other visions and dreams. For example, the Old Testament patriarch Abraham was visited by three men who told him that in the very near future, he and his wife Sarah were going to have a child in their old age. And the passage makes clear that this wasn't just three ordinary men who visited Abraham, but the Lord himself. And then one last example. Sometimes theophanies result in conversion of heart and mind of someone. One of the most famous examples of this is a man named Saul. Saul was a prominent Jew who lived around the time of Jesus. He was very zealous for his faith. And so he was so zealous that he started persecuting the early Christians. He didn't like these Christian people, so he had them arrested and even some of them killed. And then one day, he's going along the road and he sees this huge flash of light in the sky, and he falls to the ground and he hears a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he says, "Who are you, sir?" And he says, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what to do." And that's what he did. He got up, he went into the city, and pretty soon the rest is history. Saul became Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament and founded about 14 churches all around the known world at that time. That's an example of a theophany, or more specifically, a Christophany, the appearance of Christ that changed his life. It led to conversion. Well, at this point, I want to pause for a moment, and I want to invite one of our staff members up, Victoria, who herself experienced a Christophany that led to her conversion. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you so much, Father.
Thank you for being with us. So, what happened?
So, growing up in a family that was not of faith, it was a bit hard to pursue my faith, and I was around 10 years old when I had this experience, where I had finished my nightly prayers, and I wasn't really sure if I was following the right thing, if God even existed. I was in a very big moment of doubt. And so I went to bed, and I guess somewhat under half conscious and unconsciousness, I had this vision of Jesus with his arms outstretched in a very like loving way, kind of calling me to be embraced, and with all these lights and like sparks and flames behind him, with a really, really sweet smile on his face. And it just affirmed the idea that I was to follow him and to be Catholic.
So you took that vision as you interpreted it to be a call for you to convert and become a Catholic.
Right. It was my confirmation that I should be following the faith and pursue it.
That you're on the right track. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then, so what happened after that?
So after that experience, I knew that, you know, God obviously is real and he's calling me. And so when I was 16 years old, I became a full-fledged Catholic.
That's great. That's mm-hmm. amazing. And then I do have a question that I'm sure is on everyone's minds. What did Jesus look like?
He was quite, I guess, the average-looking Jesus. He had his beard and his long brown hair, but it was really his smile that won it over for me.
Yeah. You said it was a very kind smile, right?
Yeah, very, very gentle and loving, yes.
That's great. Well, thank you, Victoria, for sharing your service. Your story. Can we give her a round of applause? It's not easy to share something that personal, so thank you, Victoria, very much. Well, the readings today are also theophanies and Christophanies. Let's look at the first reading pretty quickly. It's a story that involves the prophet Elijah, but the story begins long before we hear the reading from the passage from the first reading today. It starts with a woman named Jezebel. You may have heard of the evil queen Jezebel. She had the distinction of being married to the worst monarch in Jewish history, the very worst, the bottom of the barrel, King Ahab. And at Jezebel's insistence, King Ahab started building altars to pagan gods, to foreign gods, and even desecrated the Jewish temple. But Jezebel didn't stop there. Jezebel started importing her prophets from her homeland, her pagan prophets, and then systematically started killing off the legitimate prophets of Israel. Well, Elijah, the Israelite prophet, had enough, and he confronted the royal family. He challenged the other prophets, the foreign prophets, to a contest, and when they lost, he slaughtered every single one of them single-handedly, over 400 of them. That's doing it Old Testament style, I guess. Anyway, Jezebel was a little torqued about that, so Elijah found himself on the run as a fugitive from the murderous rage of Queen Jezebel, and he flees about 100 miles out into the wilderness, the desert, by himself. And he comes to a broom tree, which is just like this little kind of shrubbery kind of tree that grows in the desert and would give him a little bit of shade. And he sat down underneath it and he basically gave up and he said, God, I've had enough. Take my life. This is enough. Just take my life. He was depleted emotionally. He was totally exhausted. He was discouraged. He was at the end of his rope. He had come to a place mentally and physically, spiritually and emotionally where he felt like he couldn't just go on. Maybe some of you have felt that way at some point in your life. Maybe you feel that way now. Maybe there's someone in your life, a loved one, who feels that way. But look at what happened to Elijah. An angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And Elijah looked around and he found a jar of water and some food and he ate and he drank and he got up. And he walked 40 days and 40 nights to a place called, you guessed it, Mount Horeb. Do you remember that? The same place we had that theophany in Exodus chapter 19. Not a coincidence. So Elijah finds this cave in Mount Horeb where he's going to spend the night. And eventually, this heavy wind that was strong enough to crush rocks came along, followed by a powerful earthquake, and then finally a devastating fire. And then Elijah hears a tiny whispering sound, and it's there in the quietness of the still small voice of God that he is given the confidence and the motivation to continue his mission for the Lord. It was through that theophany that Elijah was given the courage to carry on. Well, when you look at the gospel passage today, it's very similar. Jesus had just finished teaching the crowd, and he made his disciples, forced his disciples to get into the boat and precede him to the other side. They were headed to the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, which was predominantly Gentile territory, and therefore could be potentially hostile. It was kind of like invading enemy ground. The Jews and the Gentiles had no love for each other. And so it was. They weren't sure what they were going to be facing. And to make matters worse, the wind was churning up the waters. The waters were very rough, and it was hard getting across the sea. And this was a symbol of the fear that they had of the unknown that they were facing on the other side of the sea. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appears. It's a Christophany. He appears, and he's walking on water. And you can imagine how they must have felt about this dramatic encounter with the divinity of Christ. I mean, in this Christophany, the disciples come face to face with the true identity of Jesus as the Son of God. And they were afraid. They cried out, "It is a ghost!" But immediately Jesus reassured them. He said, "Be not afraid. It is I." And in one sentence, Jesus both comforts them with his presence, but also makes it clear to them that he is God, and so they have nothing to worry about. He uses a biblical code word in Greek. He didn't speak in Greek at that moment, but in Greek, it's written in the New Testament, it's ego eimi, which means I am. You might remember that. That is the name of God that was first given to Moses in the Old Testament. I am. And so when Jesus says that, he is telling them, I've got this under control. Have faith. And then Peter, I love Peter because he acts before he thinks, just like me. He's like, Lord, command me to come to you. He starts dabbling on walking on the water. And you can see in this clip that we got from The Chosen, this appears in season 3 of The Chosen, the TV show. It's a little dark, but you can see that they're out on the water there. And Peter gets out of the boat, and he sinks, and now he's being drawn up by Jesus out of the water, and he is saved. He's immediately saved by Jesus. The whole experience was a training for the disciples. It was to get them ready to embark on missions where Jesus would not be with them in the future. Missions that could be dangerous, missions that could be hostile, missions that could just be plain hard and exhausting and defeating and discouraging, so that they would know that he will always be with them. That's why they received that Christophany, Jesus' presence. And then he gets in the boat and it's him, and everything calms down. In this case, too, they receive this vision to give them the courage to carry on. Maybe you or someone you love right now is going through a season of despair. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. Maybe you feel like you can't go on like Elijah did. Maybe you've lost hope, or nothing just seems to be working out right now in your life. If you or someone you know that's is going through that, that can be a very, very hard time. I hear a lot of these stories from people. Maybe your family is fighting. People are fighting in your family, and you keep trying to keep them together, but things just keep deteriorating. Or maybe your loved one is sick. You've got a health crisis in the family, or your spouse is feeling, you know, it's kind of problematic, maybe even abusive. And you just feel like you're sinking and there's no one to help you. Maybe you're in a ministry here at church and you're trying to make progress and just things aren't working out, and no matter how hard you try, the winds of opposition keep pushing against you. Or maybe at work they keep demanding more and more of your time and energy, and you don't have enough left over for yourself or your family, and it's affecting your health and well-being. Or maybe you just keep trying to do the right thing, you know, but these forces beyond your control just keep pulling you down under the surface of the water. If that describes you or someone you love, These stories of these theophanies and Christophanies are for you. Take heart, have courage, believe, do not give up faith. The Lord is with you. He is present in those moments. That is exactly why these visions are given to people in the Bible and to saints and to ordinary common people like you and me. It is to encourage us from those stories. It is to give us greater faith. It is to give us the strength and the energy to keep moving. And it is to give us the grit and the fortitude to carry on the mission of love and service of Jesus in this world. And the reward for us, if we keep persevering, keep trying, the reward is a great reward, because at the end of this life, you won't need dreams or visions anymore, because you will see God face to face.